Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, unlike yesterday, I got nothing.
Start spreading the news.
You know that song means Schomburg Stu is here. Hi, Stu.
No, go. You're not going solo today, right?
No, not today. I was good with that yesterday, so. And we'll figure something else out today. But all right, you want to call into the podcast and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter. We got a couple months left to do that. But you can hunt me down at Burke Time. And as always, feel free to ask Stu any questions, and I will forward them along. So there you go. All right, we got no baseball. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
We got to figure something out. And that I saw a rumor now that the Cubs are interested in getting Howie Kendricks, but I'm not sure that would be such a great idea since he's going to be 37 pretty soon.
Yeah, and then what are they? I don't know what they do with him. So, you know, he's
That's
just going to be a bench player. So. I'm sure we'll get a lot of those rumors. I mean, you know, they can always bring Starlin Castro back. You know, the Marlins bought out his contract yesterday, so he is a free agent.
And they can pop him into second base.
So, you know, that would be it'd be an upgrade over whatever they had, you know, floating around out there this year. But yeah, we're due for a lot of that now with, you know, teams making their decisions. And, you know, I'm more interested to see, like, who's going to opt out and, you know, when, you know, if and when they're going to make the decision. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There'll be a lot of changes, I think, with all the teams. And I'm wondering if Washington will even be the favorite over Atlanta next year in the NL East or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I did see they always put out World Series odds as soon as the World Series ends. And Houston was the favorite coming out of the gate right away for next year.
Well, not a surprise, of course.
So, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, teams are going to make changes and they're going to look a lot different than, you know, what they are right now, but, you know,
Don't you think Houston will be weakened? Don't you think Houston will be a little weaker next year when they're going to lose their top pitcher?
That's if they lose him. I mean, we don't know, you know, who's going to go where or, you know, who ends up with who. Maybe he'll resign or maybe they'll get somebody to replace him. You know, I mean, there are other free agent pitchers they could bring in if he does walk. So,
there's just
so many changes and much to do. I mean, you know, I mean, if you're believing the hype, I mean, he's already signed with the Angels because Joe Maddon is the new manager. Even though I don't believe him and Garrett Cole have ever had any kind of interaction.
Yeah, so why would they, why the speculation leading in that direction?
Right. I don't understand that at all. It was just like, you know, they based everything on the fact that Cole is from Southern California. I'm like, okay, well, Could he maybe want to sign with the Dodgers, who also have a lot of money to pay people and, you know, will?
Sure. And,
you know,
the amount of contenders, you know, San Diego has a few bucks.
Yeah, the Angels are. So,
Now that the World Series
is
over, can any teams make deals now? Can they make deals? Do they have to wait until a certain period of time now before deals are
consummated? Yeah, the White Sox made a deal yesterday.
Oh, that minor league deal, you mean?
They traded Wellington Castillo. He's a major league player.
Yeah, I don't know. Based on his average the last 2 years, I wouldn't know if I could consider him even that.
He did all right for them. I mean, you know, minus the, obviously, the 80-game suspension or whatever he had to, he had to go through. But, you know, I mean, he had .259 there his first year. I mean, that's not terrible. Last year he was bad. He only had .209. Just kind of a weird situation. I mean, they got a minor leaguer for him. I'm guessing they didn't get much for him. A kid by the name of Jonah McReynolds. Let me see what kind of numbers he's put up. He spent the last 3 years in A-ball, and he hit .239
there in the A-ball?
So obviously they didn't. Basically, all they got for him was a body. But yeah, the Rangers apparently are just planning on letting Castillo walk. They're not going to pick up his option. So I guess they just made the trade to get. They got some international bonus money as well. So I guess that's why they made the deal.
I suspect that the deals would probably pick up a little bit more, isn't there? The owners' meeting coming up in early December.
Yeah, I don't know when it's coming up. So.
Yeah, I thought I read somewhere it's early December, maybe a first week or second week in December, and you think that things might start to pick up a little bit then, although based on last year, there wasn't all that much activity.
So, yeah, and, you know, it will be interesting. You know, I guess no real surprise. The Brewers are going to lose a couple guys. Both Mike Moustakas and Yasmani Grandal declined their sides of the mutual option deal with the Brewers, so that makes them free agents. Moustakas will get $3 million on the buyout on the way out, while Grandal gets $2.25. If Moustakas would have stayed, he would have made $11 million. Grandal would have made $16 million. They're both expected to get much better offers on the free agent market. But remember, Moustakas thought that last year and ended up re-signing with Milwaukee when he couldn't get another deal.
Yeah.
So.
Milwaukee will still be a pretty solid team next year, despite losing those two players, I would suspect. I think they'll be in contention once again.
Those guys had really good years for them. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, what they do or how they, you know, kind of decide to do it. So. And I've been waiting. You know, the Nationals have a big option on Ryan Zimmerman. It's like $18 million. And I saw today they declined Matt Adams' option, which was only $4 million. So if you're going to decline, you know, you're going to take the $1 million buyout on a $4 million deal, you got to figure there's no way in hell you're picking up Ryan Zimmerman at $18 million. I
wouldn't
be surprised if
so.
He came back to Washington, but there's no way he's making $18 million.
Yeah, they may restructure that deal. Maybe they'll sign him for a lesser amount if he's agreeable.
Obviously the one piece of, you know, really big news today is the Mets decided on a manager. And surprisingly, they are, just like the Cubs, they're going with a first-timer. They're going with Carlos Beltran. Who beat out quite a group of interviewees the Mets went through. So, we'll see how that works out. But yeah, another first time manager there in Beltran, who was a fantastic player. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see if he can equate that his ability as a player into that as a good manager for the Mets. who always seem to have some potential, but they always seem to get derailed with injuries. Although, did they wind up with 500 year? I'm trying to remember now. They were hovering around 500 for most of the season, probably a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, they finished pretty well. You know, they hung around in the wild card race for quite a while. I don't know. How actual contention they were in, but you know, they hung around, so it was better than where they where they were for a while. It was like, oh boy, you know, here we go. But let me see if I can find real quick.
It'll be tough on them because Atlanta is still a young team, and they're going to be one of the teams to beat. And of course, you have Washington to contend with, and will Philadelphia bounce back? So they're going to have their hands full being a playoff team next season, I would think.
Yeah, they were actually 10 games over. They finished 86-76, so they had better record than
the
Cubs.
Yeah, they did.
So, you know, but yeah, you know, well, you know, and you know, it's so tough now. I mean, you know, I mean, you don't know who's going to end up where, or what, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, there's just so many changes. You know, like, I wasn't surprised I saw the Indians decline Jason Kipnis's option, which was for like $16.5 million. So like, that didn't shock me. I kind of expected that. And you know, we're going to get a lot of this. I mean, there are guys floating around with options. And again, I'm waiting on the opt out guys. I mean, you got to wonder after the World Series Strasburg just had. You know, he's got 4 years and $100 million on a deal, but if he opts out, he'll probably get more.
Oh, I think he's pretty well maxed out. I don't think he'll opt out.
Well, I think he will because he's a Boris client. So
it'll be interesting if that happens to see if he can actually get what he thinks he's worth. So I'm not sure if he isn't hitting his max right now. And you know, how much is enough for these guys anyway? I mean, granted, they have a short career and want to get as much as you can, but once you get up to that level of income, it almost seems silly to switch over and try to test the free agent market again.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we've been talking about the J.D. Martinez opt-out forever because the Red Sox are one of those teams we always talk about. You know, I think he would be a fool to opt out. I don't think he'll get anywhere near the money he's getting now. But again, he's another Boris client. So I assume, you know, I know the Red Sox, whatever they're doing, that five-person conglomerate, they're, you know, at home praying to whoever they pray to that he opts out so they can get that money off their books and try to re-sign, Mookie Betts. But I don't know. We'll have to see. You know, Jason Hayward has an opt-out. You think he'll take it?
I doubt it. I doubt if he'll opt out either. I think that the Cubs are stuck with both of those players.
So,
or do you think they'll shock you and opt out?
No, I would be shocked. I would be totally surprised if either of those guys opted out. I know, like, the other thing is, you know, like, Rizzo's up to his club option, but his salary only jumped to 14.5. You know, they could buy him out for $2 million, but I think that would be stupid on their part. You know, obviously he's their team leader and one of their better players. So
no, he's been underpaid for years, but I mean, he signed a contract, and I think the Cubs should do something and jump him up a little bit in salary to what he's actually worth on the open market. But he signed the deal, and
yeah,
he never griped about it. He's never complained.
Yeah, this was what I was looking for. Martinez has 3 years left on his contract at $62.5 million. I believe next year is a big payday year, and then the contract drops down. But I still don't think, you know, he's 32. You know, what's he going to get? He's going to get a four-year deal at, you know, I can't see anybody giving him $100 million at this point. I mean, he's a DH.
No.
I you know, he can play the outfield more than maybe once a week. I just think it would be foolish for him to opt out. But again, you know, he's a Boris client, and, you know, Boris likes to take these guys out on the market. So I don't know.
I think prudence would dictate that he would remain, but do they actually have a say-so when Scott Boris is there the man?
Oh, yeah.
Can they say no? You know, can they say that, hey, I'm staying where I am. I'm not going to opt out.
Yeah, well, you know, you would like to think, but, you know, Boris seems to be, you know, very convincing. Remember, you know, he had Jake Arrieta convinced that he was a top dollar pitcher, even though he had two down years after winning the Cy Young. You know, I mean, he hadn't convinced he was going to get number one money, and the guy ended up sitting out.
And that seemed to hurt him over the course of the last couple of years, too. He was hurt last year, and I'm wondering if the fact that inactivity hurt him in the long run.
So, yeah, it's odd, you know, with Boris. I don't know why, you know, whatever his sales pitch is, it must be really good. You know, because, I mean, his guys just seem to, you know, seem to always end up on the market. And I don't know.
Now, you know, of course, that Chris Bryant turned down a huge offer from the Cubs. That was the last season. And
yeah, well,
I'm wondering if he's even going to play with them next season.
It was a terrible offer. It was 10 years and $100 million. So, I mean, it was a ridiculously low-ball offer from the Cubs. There was no way he was going to take that. So,
yeah, I didn't think it was for 10 years. Maybe you're right, though. I thought it was for less time than that. But
yeah, you know, and then the other interesting name who can opt out here is, you know, Aroldis Chapman. He's got 2 years left on the deal with the Yankees for $30 million. He's 32. I don't know if I don't know if he does better than $15 million a year. I know he's talked about opting out and wanting to re-sign with the Yankees. But I don't know if he would get better money.
I don't think he would. And I think his skills, that to me at least, have diminished a little bit. And he didn't look too good towards the end of last season or in the playoffs, did he?
No, it seemed like he was a little down, you know, and that's why I kind of, you know, when I read it, I think it was yesterday, that it seems like he plans on opting out and then hoping. Yeah, here it says he says he hopes for an extension with the Yankees or will otherwise exercise opt-out clause. So I guess he's trying to hold them up for more years.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Yankees would be buying into more years for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously it would depend what he wants. I mean, if he's talking, you know, 1 year or maybe two, I could see, you know, stretching him till he's 34. But again, you know, a lot's going to depend on the money. So, I want to see what his work here. I don't know. Yeah, well, he made 10 or 5 more appearances this year than he did last year. His ERA was better. It came down from 2.45 to 2.21, and he did have 37 saves. So his numbers were actually up from last year. He actually had a better year. You know, not the kind of year that demands, hey, here you go, here's hundreds of millions of dollars, but you know, I mean, I guess if he wanted a little more money, you know, if you want to bump to $18 million maybe for a couple years, okay. You know, you've probably earned that, but
I'm not so sure.
You know, other than that, I don't see that.
But you're talking about a guy who's 32 and who relies on his fastball. And, yeah, he's a big, strong guy, but I would be very reluctant to offer him any kind of a long-term deal for that kind of money.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily he's still young enough. You know, like if you could get him for four and you had him till he's 36, I don't think that would be terrible. But, you know, if he's out there, you know, like remember last year Craig Kimbrel wanted 5 or 6 years. You know, there's no way he didn't get it in the end, but there's no way he should have ever gotten it. So, yeah, I think a lot depends on kind of what he's asking for here. But, yeah, I don't know. And he's represented by ISE Baseball, so at least he's not a Boris guy.
No, no. I would think of maybe a three-year deal. If I were a GM, I would offer him a three-year deal, maybe $16 million a year. That would be, to me, reasonable at least. But I don't know about 4 years. Kind of frightens me a little bit.
You know, the tough part is, you know, like a guy like that, I mean, I wouldn't mind adding in some incentives, you know, give him a little extra money for every save he gets over 30 or, you know, anything like that, being that he's a closer, you know, like I would be okay with that to give him the opportunity to make a little money. But, you know, the weird thing now is a lot of these guys don't like to bet on themselves now. They want that guaranteed money. And,
yep,
you know, if they
exactly
don't get
right.
it, they quit about it. So.
An incentive-laden contract would be fair. It always seems to me like a fair deal. I mean, prove yourself, do the job, you get more money. But as you pointed out, a lot of players, I guess the great majority of them, don't want to take that chance. They want the money.
No, well, you know, and that was the big thing, you know, with Machado last year is he could have made more money with the White Sox. The problem was all the money was in the incentives. And, I mean, in reality, he did the right thing because he had a horrible year. So he got his money with the Padres that he wouldn't have gotten with the White Sox. But, you know, there, you know, you're looking at a guy who wasn't willing to gamble on himself.
No, and I don't know if his year was horrible, but maybe by his standards it was pretty bad.
No, this was a – you know, this is a pretty rough year for a guy making the kind of money he's making. He did hit 32 homers and drive in 85, but he only hit 256. And, you know, they still finished in last place. So he didn't help them at all, and they paid him $32 million.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they didn't improve. It was just kind of like, well, okay.
Do you think the pressure got to him? I mean, the fact that he was making so much money and he wanted to go out and show everybody that he was worth it, and it just sometimes it gets you the first year of a deal like that can even get to the best pros. And I'm wondering if he'll bounce back next season and have a more of a Machado type year in 2020 for them.
Well, I think the thing that frightens me more than anything, looking at his numbers, is he set a career high in strikeouts. So.
Well, that's baseball now anyway. I mean, everybody strikes out.
Yep.
It's quite unfortunate.
You know, not only that, he also hit for his lowest season average of his career. You know, he's generally a .279 hitter. He hit 20 points lower than that.
Yeah, I see his average improving next year. I think his average will go up next year, maybe a little more home runs, but I'm not sure he'll cut down on his strikeouts.
So, yeah, I you know, it just whatever it wasn't worth $32 million.
No.
You know, just kind of how it kind of worked out for him. But, you know, yeah, and that, you know, that was the weird thing. And, you know, that's just kind of the thing, you know, you always remember. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He could have made more money, but he didn't want the incentives. You know, he wanted it all guaranteed.
Yeah, well, of course, he would have made less, as it turned out, for the White Sox, even with the potential of making more, if he had that comparable year that he had with San Diego.
So, yeah, and it's always kind of interesting to see where, you know, who and where or how these guys are going to land or what's going to happen to them. But, you know, it's just, you know, when they, you know, like when they start talking about it now, you know, like making Houston the favorite, that's like, well, great, but we don't know what kind of changes they're going to have. You know,
No.
You know.
I think it will know better right around the 1st of February.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, once we kind of see how things start to shake out and, you know, just kind of, you know, who does what and how it works. And here you go. The general managers' meetings are actually November 11th through the 14th.
Oh, earlier
so they're coming up. Yeah, then the winter meetings are December 9th through the 12th.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking of the winter meetings in December. And you might
I think more
happening then.
The winter meetings than it does at the general manager meetings. So.
Yeah, I think you'll see some movement then. There'll be some deals made in December, and they should be quite interesting.
Yeah, and then also we have all the guys with the opt-out clauses that you and I have been kind of talking about have to decide by November 4th. So we're going to know by next week here on what these guys are doing.
Yeah, we'll know Monday. Monday's November 4th, so
yeah.
We're going to know in a matter of days what their decisions are.
Yeah, that and that's also the date that the clubs have to decide if they're going to issue the qualifying offer to their eligible free agents. And this year, the qualifying offer is $17.8 million. So.
Well, there will be some important decisions made rather soon.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know how many, you know, how many qualifying offers are actually going to, you know, gonna get offered this year. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, you know, the White Sox will probably throw one on Jose Abreu just in case he doesn't re-sign. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm sure some of the pitchers will get them, you know, like Bumgarner, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Dodgers put one on Ryu again. But other than that, I don't know how many other guys are actually gonna land a qualifying offer, especially at that price tag.
No. And what about arbitration? When does that start?
So when you jump back and see if they have the date for it here. February 3rd through the 21st. Yeah, February 3rd through the 21st.
Wow, that's a long time. A long time to wait for that kind of a thing, because that'll be critical to a lot of teams.
Yeah, well, you know, that'll be the big thing for, you know, teams like, you know, well, the Cubs and the Astros, who, you know, rebuilt those teams, and now all those guys are coming up to, you know, to these years. So.
Of course, nothing will prevent them from signing them to a long-term deal prior to arbitration, saying, we'll offer you this number of years, right? And then I could see that happening with a couple of players for sure prior to arbitration.
Yeah, you know, and that's what, you know, like the Astros did that with, I believe it was Carlos Correa. You know, they were able to, to ink, on a longer-term deal. You know, while he was still arbitration eligible. And, I know agents hate it, but teams try to do it. You know, they eat up those last couple years of arbitration, which, you know, is really a smart move.
No doubt.
So, you know, then we'll have to see, you know, I mean, you know, obviously that is, you know, if the offer is good, you know, like the Cubs, like you said, the Cubs tried to do that with Bryant last year, but the offer was a joke. So...
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I remember seeing the $100 million. I didn't think it was for 10 years, though. Like, you must be right.
Yeah, it was. It was just a terrible offer. But yeah, and like this year, it's looking. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, the Cubs have an interesting list of guys here. You know, not only do you have Bryant, but you've got Baez, Schwarber, Russell, Contreras, and Almora. And then you can throw in Kyle Ryan, who actually qualifies for arbitration this year. So they're going to be paying a pretty penny to these guys. You know, like here, this projects Bryan to be awarded $18.5 million. So.
Well, I would think that we're not going to see Russell, for example, getting. Being a Cub any longer, and I'm not sure. I would say Almora's on the bubble right now regarding arbitration, whether or not they're going to re-sign him.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, we'll see here soon. But, yeah, they have Baez. The projection for Baez is to make $9.3 They got Schwarber at 8 million, Russell at 5.1, Contreras at only 4.5, then Almora at 1.8, which is probably part of the reason he's a still a Cub because he doesn't make that much money, and then Kyle Ryan at 1.1 million.
So, now, why are those guys, why are Schwarber and Baez going to be offered so much less than, say, for example, Chris Bryan? Was he that much better than those guys?
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. You know, like looking at it here, Bryant's getting just a little under a $7 million bump from last year, while for some reason Baez's contract is only going up four. You would think Baez would be the one to get the $7 million jump. Now, these are just projections, so I don't know how accurate this guy is. But yeah, and, you know, even like Schwarber has a bigger bump than Baez, which I don't understand. He is he's almost a full $5
million. Yeah, but it will be interesting to see how these numbers are derived, how they come up with these numbers on jumping for arbitration. I mean, are these guys usually that accurate? Are their projectors usually right on the money?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how accurate these guys are, or you know what they actually do. But the Astros here, you know, they're in, you know, like I said, a similar situation. They have George Springer, Brad Peacock, Aaron Sanchez, Jake Marisnyk, Roberto Ozuna. Oh, they do have Carlos Correa, Lance McCullers, Alzmendiz Diaz, and then Joe Biagini are all eligible for arbitration. Oddly, you know, Springer here is expected to take a huge jump. He was making about $12 million last year. He's expected to jump all the way up to 21.4.
Yeah, that's a huge jump. That's almost double from what he's getting now.
Yeah. You know, and none of the other guys are expected to make that big of a jump. Even Correa is only expected to be bumped up $2.5 million. So.
Yeah, these projections are quite interesting, and I'd be interested to know how they come up with these numbers and how they know that one person is going to be getting so much more than someone else when their numbers are comparable.
Yeah, I wish there was an explanation of how they figured it out. But, you know, like this site that isn't the site that figures it out. They actually take it from another site. So, but, yeah, just kind of looking at the, you know, the salary structure, the Astros already have $171 million committed in contracts. You know, that's with the projected arbitration guys. So if they're correct, it's going to be, you know, right around there. You know, that may, you know, unless they're willing to pay the luxury tax, that may make it a little tough for them to bring back like a Gerrit Cole, who is, you know, going to get a big money offer.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they want to pay the luxury tax or not. So I would be surprised if he came back to Houston next season.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to know if they're willing, you know, what they would be willing to go for.
Yeah, they have a lot of important decisions to make, and of course you figure they're going to be a lock to win the division again next season. I don't know. I don't see them, anybody in that division beating them for that title.
Yeah, and, you know, just like, you know, looking at the Angels, you know, they right now they have $161 million committed to their payroll. They can get out of $14 million of it if they decide not to pick up Cole Calhoun's option, which wouldn't really surprise me. So that would put them at about 100 and what, 47? So, you know, they'll have, you know, a little more money to throw around if, you know, if they're really interested in Gerrit Cole, but you know, I mean, just looking at this team, I mean, okay, great, you get Gerrit Cole, but I still don't think I'm looking at a winner here, even with Gerrit Cole.
You're saying you don't think Joe Mann's going to turn him around?
No. I'm just looking at the roster here, and I don't know how.
They don't look like a playoff team to me. Let's put it that way. Or even a team that's going to win 81 games, 500. I don't see it. So they have their work cut out for them, and it's gonna. I don't think it'll be done in 2020. Maybe they can build something over time, but I don't see it happening for them next year.
So that'll be the thing on which teams are going to be willing to, get close to the luxury tax or go over the luxury tax or. However you want to do it. But, there's the team, like we mentioned before, the Red Sox are already over it. So they're trying to figure out how to get under it now.
Look what they did this season. Even going over the luxury tax, they didn't even make the playoffs.
That's why they're hoping Martinez opts out. I mean, he's due to make $23.75 this year. And then his salary drops to $19.35 for the next two in the contract. So, if he opts out, that takes a really big number off their books. They're projecting Betts to be awarded $27.7 million. He was awarded $20 last year. So I can see, why they kind of are where they are with this, but I really think the guy that'll end up moving will be Jackie Bradley, who's projected to make $11 million because basically he's just a defensive player. That's about all you got with him.
Yeah, he's not worth $11 million, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, and then I'll be interested to know, I don't know what happened to Dustin Pedroia's salary because my guess is he's going to retire, but he's got two more years on a deal, $13,125 and then $12,125. That could be some more money that might come off the books for them. I don't know if baseball has a thing like hockey or basketball. When guys get hurt, you get the exemption. So, I don't know how that works out.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. But Pedroia is what is he, around 38, 39?
Pedroia, he'll be 37 coming into this season.
But do you think he's going to hang it up?
You would have to think so, right? After all the injuries and, everything else he's been through these last few years. What did he play? Two games last year? Three games last year?
It's about it, yeah. But you think that he would have, he would want to come back one more, give it one more shot, but maybe he will retire. But we can only hope that his health it comes back enough so he feels like he will give it another shot next season.
Well, here he played. He played six games last year and three games in 2018, so nine games in two seasons.
Yeah, but don't forget he's still getting paid.
Yeah. So, that's just tough to. I don't know what I know. All the contracts have insurance, so the teams are protected like that, but that doesn't save them from the luxury tax.
No. No impact there whatsoever. It's right.
So, they'll have big
decisions to make. Yeah, you feel bad for the guy, though. I mean, no, to go through those 2 years like he's had.
Yeah, no, I mean, he'd been a fantastic player. He's a former Rookie of the Year. He's a former MVP. He's been a really good player for Boston. But, that first injury, he originally got hurt in 2015, but it looked like he bounced back. He had two really good years, and I don't remember what the 2018 injury was, but it just doesn't seem like he's over it, and obviously whatever it was, he re-injured it and only played six games last year.
Yeah, did they give any kind of a status update as to how he's doing in the off season and with regarding the injuries he's had?
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I mean, I haven't seen anything, so we'll just kind of have to, you know, have to wait and see how it goes with the guy. But yeah, if I remember correctly, it's a knee that he injured.
Yeah, you think that they could rehabilitate a knee, but I guess sometimes it's so severe that nothing would seem to help.
Yeah, you know, for whatever reason, you know, that, and, you know, he did end up hurting it again. So, you know, it was 2 years in a row.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he will announce his retirement.
So, yeah, you know, I guess we'll have to see how he's feeling. You know, I mean, maybe if he feels good coming into spring training, he sticks around or, you know, because, I mean, looking, you know, if he can play a little, you know, they could use him. You know, I mean, like they don't really have a second baseman on the roster. I know, you know, that Michael Chavez was, you know, a second baseman, but I believe he's filled in more at first. So, if he's healthy, they could use him.
Now, he still has, 2 years left in his contract?
Yeah, he's got 2020 and 2021 left on his deal.
So if he decides to retire, that's it. He won't get paid for those 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember how that works out, you know, because the Mets worked something out with David Wright because, you know, he had a lot of years left on his deal when he announced his retirement. But, you know, what happened is, like, you know, like, my guess is they move him into the front office or they do something like that where, you know, he's still going to end up seeing the money. You know, because otherwise, I mean, why would this guy walk away from the money? I mean, that would be stupid on his part.
Exactly. And they must have some kind of a deal in place, but we're not privy to all that information. But you would think that no matter how callous it sounds, that a guy who was ready to hang him up but still has 2 years left in that deal would want to stick around on the bench just so he could get the remaining money that he has on his deal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would think, I mean, you know, he's been around a long time. You would think he wouldn't need the money, but, you know, you never know. You know, I mean, there are guys who don't want to walk away from their money, so they stay regardless, and you kind of force the team to make the decision. Remember, that's kind of what Alex Rodriguez did to the Yankees. You know, he more or less just refused to walk away, and they ended up buying him out.
Yeah, and yeah, that's right. That is correct. Now that I think back of what happened with him, yeah, they had to buy him out, didn't they?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's something, you know, they could work out. You know, the Red Sox and him, could, you know, Pedroia could work out since they do have such a good relationship. You know, they could, you know, get a buyout going or something and, you know, make things just a little easier for him to walk away so it doesn't get ugly.
Yeah, maybe he would be amenable to that situation because you don't want the guy to play hurt just so he can collect his money.
Right. Then you don't want him to turn around and get hurt again either, so.
No, exactly.
But, yeah, that, you know, just one of those, one of those fun things. And then, believe it or not, I forgot all about this. They're still paying Rosny Castillo. If you remember that signing, he was a Cuban signing back in 2014. They gave him a 7-year deal for $72.5 million, and he's actually in the last year of it now. He's going to make a little over $14 million. So they have gotten – definitely did not get their money's worth out of that signing.
No, that didn't work out for them.
I actually want to look and see where he played last year. Right, come on, there we go. 2019, he spent the entire year in Pawtucket. He did hit 278 with 17 homers and 64 RBIs. So he had
that's worth the money.
Had a solid year.
That's worth the money they paid him for that, right?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, to have a solid year in AAA. He actually hit better in AAA last year. He hit .319 in 2018, but he only hit 5 home runs. He's actually been in AAA, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, he's been in AAA for 5 seasons. After the Red Sox sent him down in 2015, he was up for 9 games in 2016, and that was it. He's been a minor leaguer ever since.
Yeah, I don't know who scouted him, but they didn't do the job, did they?
No, yeah. Well, that's when, that it was all the rage to find, Cuban players. So, they definitely missed here.
Yeah, well, some of them have turned out to be top quality players, that's for sure. But this one didn't work out the way they expected.
Yeah, unfortunately, we know that happens. It's one of those situations, but yeah, just kind of strange when you think about it that he's been with the team for, since 2014, and he hasn't, really helped them with anything, and he's being paid a boatload of money.
Yeah, and he can't complain about the deal he signed, that's for sure.
No, yeah, definitely. It's worked out for him. Probably not in the way he wanted. I know the Diamondbacks have that guy too, Yasmani Tomas, but, at least Tomas, he got to play a little and produced a little at the major league level. I think he had a 30 home run season before kind of the wheels came off the bus on him.
Yeah, he wasn't consistent.
But, that, and I think they overestimated it. They expected him to be a third baseman when they scouted him, and he never really looked like a third baseman. He needed to be an outfielder, and it was just he wasn't very good there. In reality, he was probably a DH. But, with the contract he was carrying, there was just not a lot of interest unless the Diamondbacks were going to pay him a ton of money.
Yeah, well, some of these deals don't work out, as you pointed out, and it really hurts a team in the long run when these things happen.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be reluctant to sign these unproven players to long-term deals like they did.
Yeah, well, you can even look. Look how long it took Jorge Soler to finally work out.
Yeah, he took it till this year. He finally had a monster season.
Oh. And that was, first year, and I don't know how long he stayed healthy.
Yeah, that's critical. He always seemed to be injury prone, but I'm glad that he was healthy this year, and he had a terrific year for them, although didn't do much for improving the quality of the ball team, though, did it?
No, and I think he's got one more year left on his deal. The Cubs originally signed him to a 9-year, $30 million deal, and he's finally in the last year of it.
Yeah, it'll be. I wonder if he has another great season next year, he'll, I guess, become a free agent. Can he expect to have a huge payday?
He's going to hold a place in your next year.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that, I'd like to see him have another really good year. I mean, I always thought he was kind of talented. He just couldn't, he couldn't stay healthy.
No. And did he lead the league in homers last year?
Did he end up? I'm trying to remember if he did or did. I think Pete Alonso ended up leading the league overall.
But Solera's in the American League, right? So,
yeah, he may have ended up leading. I know 40. Trout had a pretty decent lead, but then he got hurt. And I'm trying to remember. I'll have to see if
47, 48 home runs he wound up hitting, I thought, but I can't remember the exact number right now.
I can tell you. My internet is catching up here. I'll be able to tell you in a second.
Man, he had a lot of RBIs as well.
Yeah, he finished first in the American League, but third overall.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then, yeah, I think he ended up leading the American League in RBIs, too. Let me double check. Oh, no, that's right, Abreu did. So.
But he still had over 100 RBIs, didn't he?
Yeah, 117. He tied for second in the American League in RBIs. So.
Yeah, now one can only hope he stays healthy.
So, yes, you know, you got to see, because he actually played in every game last year. He played in 162 games, which is, you know, insane when you think about it for him, because he's never been close to anything like that before. I'm a little surprised he didn't break down or wear down, but, I mean, he even hit 265.
Right, but how many of the 162 games he played, how many were a DH?
Yeah, that I don't know. I would have to look and see what they broke it down as here for him with his positioning. But, yeah, even so, it's just still impressive. Even as a DH, it's impressive that he played 162 games.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I know he spent a little time in the outfield. Let me find his numbers here and see what the actual breakdown is. Yeah, oddly, he's only 27. He'll be 28 for next season. All right, let's see. He actually played 56 games in right field last year.
Wow.
So.
Well, he was never the greatest outfielder. That wasn't his forte.
He did okay. Only 3 years.
He was all right.
No. So.
Yeah, I always liked him. I remember when he came up in 2014 with the Cubs, and I think his first game he hit 2 home runs and looked like he had a lot of potential, but didn't work out for him there.
Yeah, no, a lot of it was just kind of, health-related. You know, they brought him up that 1 year. You know, 2014 he only played 24 games. Even in 15 he only played 101 because of injury, and then 16 his last year there, he only played 86 because he got hurt.
It's when you think about it, even as you pointed out, even DHing as much as he did, it was incredible that he played in every game. And how many ball players can say that? How many ball players can you say that in either league played 162 games last season? Of course, you'd think be more prevalent in the American League with a DH, obviously.
Yeah, I still think he may have been the only one to play in every game. I don't remember seeing anybody else with that number. I'll have to double check it real quick here, but yeah, I maybe one other guy at the most, but guys don't play every day like they used to.
There were a few
more than I thought. Here we had Jonathan Villara, the Orioles, Marcus Semien, the A's, another Royal, Whit Merrifield, so the Royals had two guys. And then, believe it or not, Starlin Castro played in every game last year.
Wow, that's a shocker.
So,
he must have been the only player in the National League that played a full 162 games.
Yeah, he was. So, there were a few, like four other National Leaguers with 161. So there were other guys right on the doorstep. But, yeah, he's the only guy who played in every one.
You know what's impressive about that? Playing in Florida.
Yeah.
And still playing in all those games.
So, yeah, like I said, he's one of those guys I'll be really interested to see what the market is for him and, where he goes, because – I think he could really help a team out, and he showed a little versatility. He played some third base last year too. So, even if he just ends up being that utility guy, while he's not a great shortstop, he could fill in for a game here or there. You know, and obviously he can play second and third, you know, as well. So, you know, there could be some value to him as a utility guy. And, you know, he had a solid year. He hit 270 with 22 home runs on a really bad team.
And he's been around a long time, but is he 30 yet?
You know, I don't even think he, you know, if he is, he is like just 30. So, see what it says for him. He is, he's 29. He'll be 30 next March.
So, he's been around a long time, but he's still relatively young, and he certainly has proven that he can play X number of games. Look at all those games he played last year. So he should be a valuable acquisition on the free agent market.
Yeah, and that's the one thing with him is he's always played. You know, I mean, he plays a lot of games. You know, like he had the 1 year in New York where he was dinged up. He only played 112. And then the 1 year with the Cubs where he only played 134 because he had just a little injury time. But other than that, I mean, it's always over 150. This was actually the second year he's played in every game. And then he's got a 161 on his tag here too. So he plays.
Yeah, I still think second base is the best position, though.
Oh, yeah. So, but, you know, I mean, it's to the point where he might have to take a, you know, he might have to take a utility gig with the way things go now. So,
you know, either way, he'd be a valuable acquisition.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to forget here. You know, we got to get your picks in. Now, you did split last week as a, you know, Illinois beat Purdue on you, but you did pick Northwestern, right? They were beaten by Iowa. So you're 64-31. We do have both teams in action again this week. We have Rutgers is coming in to play the University of Illinois. Who you got winning that game?
Boy, I've got I'm very confident that Illinois will win this one.
Oh, okay. And then Northwestern is on the road this week. They are at Indiana. So who you going with there?
Well, the way they played this year, I'm going to have to go along with Indiana winning against Northwestern, who look terribly feeble on offense.
Yeah, they, you know, not the best. Definitely a down year is the best way to describe it for the Wildcats, but you know, I guess they were due. You know, Fitzgerald has done a nice job there, and it's just got to be so difficult to continue to keep that team competitive.
Yeah, because that's a real they go to real classes, and so you got to have a true student athlete playing for Northwestern. As we mentioned, we could put Stanford in that mix, and maybe one or two other colleges, but that's about it.
So yeah, it's difficult to find, you know, actual athletes going to actual class. But, you know, pretty soon we won't have to worry about that. They're going to start paying them. You know, it won't be that big a deal anymore.
Well, it'll be paying them, I think, maybe for their likenesses, but it won't be. I'm not sure if there's other things involved in payment rather than just their likenesses. You know, I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, they discontinued making that football game, so they're not going to make any money off of that.
Not anymore, but you know, the NCAA is not very happy about this idea of paying them for at least some of the things they're entitled to, but they fought it.
I'm not exactly thrilled with it either, but we'll have to talk about that next week. I want to listen to the podcast anytime. Just head on over to TuneIn.com.